It's Thursday the 16th of April 2015, and this is my last whole day in Jeddah, although I'm here tomorrow until fairly late, but I won't be staying here tomorrow night. As my driver was arriving at a civilised hour this morning, or is arriving, should I say, in about 10 minutes' time, and because I got to bed early last night, I managed to get up this morning at 6 o'clock and go running along the front, and it was absolutely wonderful. It was cool, there was a breeze, still quite humid, but there was hardly anybody out. A couple of ladies who were sitting with a man thought this was the most hilarious thing they'd ever seen, but I gave them a wave and carried on. Lots of people actually say hello as you're passing, and very polite, lovely people. Lots of cats out this morning, lots of fishermen, and every fisherman seemed to have a cat, and I guess they're feral cats, sitting beside them and feeding them scraps. They're actually quite attractive little cats. They're very small, thin, elongated cats, and I saw one nearly getting run over as it crossed a very busy road and ran in front of me. It happened to be black, but as I'm not superstitious, I won't read anything into that either way. So I'm ready to go to the college, and Wafa will give the first paper this morning, followed by me on care of older people. I've got 45 minutes, so I've cut down considerably on the paper I gave in China, and I'm quite looking forward to giving this paper. And it looks like there's a panel at the end of the day, so I'm not sure if I'm expected to stay all day, but I know that at 4 o'clock, when the conference finishes, Wafa's brother is going to take me down to the old part of the town, and I'm sincerely hoping I can get back and dump my bag. And I'm quite sure that there will also be a heavy glass ornament as a present, which I probably will be able to get into my case. I'm not absolutely sure, but if I can't, then that's something that Wafa can definitely transport back to the UK for me. But I don't want to be carrying that around for a couple of hours. And then it's dinner tonight.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'd like to thank you for joining us back again into this afternoon session. And I guess it would be one of the most important sessions that is covered. We had a good yesterday and a good AM. And I think we're continuing on the excellent direction, working. Of course, we'll talk about palliative care, my specialty, so I have to be in the happy lab. I wish all of you, if you can come closer, and I feel like you have bits and pieces everywhere, so if we come closer, it would be much better. I want to take for this opportunity first that I'll be the moderator of the session this afternoon. And at the same time, I have to say thank you for Prof. Roger for being with us since yesterday. We enjoyed him. We enjoyed the information that he is giving us. And we are actually want to say a simple thank you to you for your presence with us. And we'd like to give you something very simple. This is just a simple thank you from Fakhri for us, from us to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And
we wish you a wonderful.
Thank you very much.
We wish you a wonderful trip.
Again,
and looking forward to be with you again. Okay, now I get back into the professional area.
Seriously eroded. So, enter Podemos, a new, clean party. Yes, its politics will be too radical for many. Podemos is considering imposing a maximum wage.
One of the things I really enjoy when I'm travelling is getting time to listen to BBC Radio 4 podcasts, which I automatically download when they're produced, and one of the best of these is a program I think is the best on Radio 4 from our own correspondent with, at the moment, Kate Adie. And I'm always weeks behind on the podcast, and I've often heard them before on the radio, but I just think they're good. The best of British radio, in a sense. So what you heard before that was me being presented with my prize, or my present, sorry, my hadiah in Arabic, at the end of the conference, or at least at the end of my contribution, because the conference is just finishing in about 5 minutes' time. But I came back after lunchtime, and what I got, as I expected, because I saw someone else getting one, was a large glass ornament on a wooden base with my name on it, thanking me for taking part in the conference. It's in a huge case. The case will have to be discarded, but I will manage to get this into my own case and take it back. It weighs a ton, but never mind. These things look okay in the office, and they're very generously meant. I had to come back this afternoon because I got an email this morning from Hong Kong, from the University Grants Council, which I do some work for at the moment. I'll be going out there in June to attend the meeting which actually makes the awards, about the grants under my first review. We have some under our first review and some for which we're second reviewers. And the ones which are under our first review, we have to select reviewers for. And this has been made easier this year than it was the previous year. At least this year there's a pretty huge database of reviewers which we have access to. It just didn't seem to be possible to access them last year, and I ended up finding people using Researcher ID, which wasn't all that satisfactory, but it did seem to work. But it's a real problem getting people to review. The grants are under the Health and Humanities section of the University Grants Council, and within that there's sociology, psychology, public health, and of course the people indicate what the primary area of the research grant is, and that automatically brings up a set of reviewers. You can change that, but for example, you know, someone put something in about what was essentially a randomised controlled trial, but they'd indicated social work as being the first area of choice, and I don't think there are many social work researchers who would be involved with randomised controlled trials. But nevertheless, the problem today is that we choose 8 reviewers for each grant in the hope that we'll get 3 back. I know it's a little bit naughty to do that, but the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of people just completely ignore the request to do the review, and one or two turn them down. Turning them down is better than completely ignoring them. At least that's active, in the sense that they've looked at it and decided it probably isn't for them, or maybe they genuinely don't have time. On the other hand, they did put their names down on the database, because that's an active process. But the people who completely ignore it just really, really irritate me. If any of those are listening just now, you really irritate me. I just said it again, because why are you on the database if you're just not willing to even engage with the emails that come requesting you to do reviews? And my way of doing this, I haven't sought any of my own reviewers at all this time, but I did ask a few people to join the panel, and in fact I allocated grants to a couple of those. But what I've done this time is try to choose cognate reviewers as much as possible in the first instance. If I can't find any, and certainly today, having had this email which indicated that many of my reviewers hadn't responded and we were getting close to the deadline and we had to choose some more, was I just looked for reviewers who hadn't indicated any area of interest and allocated them. If people again aren't willing to allocate or indicate at least an area of interest that they're willing to review, I see them as fair game to review anything I'm going to send them. Maybe that tactic is backfiring already by the fact that people aren't responding, but we'll see. We have to make a decision in June sometime anyway, regardless of how many reviews we get in. Ultimately, I have to review the grants myself, but I don't normally do this until it's indicated that it's ready for our input. We can't actually input anything until there are 3 reviews there. But we can, of course, read the grant, but I just wait, and I actually largely base my assessment on what other people have said, unless something really stands out in the grant. It's a fairly straightforward process. It's just slightly complicated by the website, which is not the best website in the world. and it does crash frequently. The most irritating part of the process is at the end, that we have to estimate whether the budget is realistic. And frankly, even if it was in pounds sterling, I wouldn't have a clue. I never have a clue about these things. I tend just to agree it, but you can't finalise the grant until you've gone through the budget, and that's a little bit tedious. But the people at the Grants Commission do keep an eye on it. They do take decisions on your behalf now and again to deal with reviewers or chase them up, which is fine by me. I'm sure by the time we meet in June, in the middle of June, that we'll have got there, we'll have got all the reviews in. And last time round, quite frankly, we didn't allocate a great deal of the money. The quality of the proposals was actually quite poor. This time so far, I've had three that I've been able to input into, two of my own and one in which I'm a second reviewer, and none of those will be allocated funding so far. And I know that there's always a huge amount of money left over on this panel, and I seem to remember it does get carried forward, which is a good thing. But really, I don't think people are really putting a huge amount of effort into going for these grants. And as one of my colleagues, Mark Hayter, pointed out, he's one of the reviewers, a lot of them are collaborative, and these are good ones, but a lot of them are just not collaborative at all. They're just involving local Hong Kong universities doing local projects on things that are not of much global interest. If people just thought a little bit more widely and sought some international collaboration and sought to involve experts who would gladly be involved for the kind of money that's available, I'm sure that they would do a lot better. I've just been out with Abdul Aziz, Wafa's brother, who turned up with his car and took me down to the old part of Jeddah, and it was very interesting. Some old buildings there which have been preserved. Many have actually collapsed, but they're being rebuilt, and we saw what probably was the souk at one time. It's a little bit touristy now. I certainly saw quite a few Westerners there, but it was still fascinating to walk around and just see the shops and to see Abdulaziz haggling over the price of a torch that he bought and just the various things that were going on. And then we took a long drive along the longer Corniche, which is further along the coast here, just to look at the various sites and listen to the sounds there, see the restaurants and what was happening there. Hundreds of people out in the evening, and lots of traffic. And just interesting to have a chat with someone who was Saudi and lives and works here, is Saudi, lives and works here, but also has experience of being in the USA and in the UK. So now I'm just waiting to be picked up for dinner tonight. I was picked up over an hour late for dinner, but that doesn't seem to matter here. Time's a pretty flexible concept. And we went to a restaurant called Zodiac, and it was very windy tonight. The idea was that we would sit outside, but I was having my doubts as we got there, especially having to stand outside for 10 minutes because it was prayer time, and restaurants are supposed to close during prayer time. It doesn't matter if there's anyone in there. But you can't have the doors open to let people in. People were being allowed out, but we had to stand there because the owner was afraid that he might get into trouble from the religious police. Not that I've seen any of those around here. Anyway, eventually we were let in. And I just remarked on Wafa to a few things that I noticed about the culture here. There were a couple of women on the lift. They weren't veiled, they were wearing the abaya, of course, clearly local Saudi women. And we were on a very small lift, four of us, and not a bit of eye contact was made by them with me at any point, yet I'd let them onto the lift before me, and I stood back to let them off, and no eye contact, no shukran, which is thank you, just glided away in a very superior and, I think, very arrogant manner. Wafa made all sorts of excuses about cultural differences and how what they might think a man might do if he looks at them and all the rest of it, which I just find judgmental. So, yeah, just another aspect of the society here. which convinces me I would never expect my wife or any of my female children to come here. They'd really have to want to do it. However, it was a nice meal with the Dean and her brother. The food was excellent and the service was good, and a very good view on the one side of the fountain in the bay and on the other side of the heavily fortified American embassy. So that's the end of my last full day here in Jeddah. The plan tomorrow is that I check out at 12, so I'll have the morning to myself to get some exercise, and I probably will go to the gym tomorrow. I'll be picked up by Wafa at 1:30 for lunch, and then I'll get to the airport, and in the meantime I will try and ensure that I can get my boarding passes printed off for the first leg of the journey, and then for the second leg tomorrow from Riyadh to the UK. If I don't get my boarding pass printed off tomorrow, I'm going to have a problem in Riyadh, in that I won't be able to go through into the airside and go to the lounge until the British Airways desk opens, and it probably won't open until about 11 o'clock in the evening. So I really want to get that printed off here and get myself through when I get to Riyadh, and at least do some shopping and go to the lounge and do some work.